Would you open us up this morning? Okay.
Dear Lord, I thank you for this day, and I thank you that we're all able to come here and come to the Bible study, and I pray that it would be a good Bible study, and church after would be good, and I pray that everyone would have a good Father's Day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Well, like I said, good morning and happy Father's Day to all those fathers this morning. It's a great day for us, for fathers. Amen? Well, first of all, this morning, I want to start off that for the last couple of weeks, we've had some great teachings on 1 Corinthians. I know that Bob spoke last week about giftings, all right, and how important those are in our lives and who gives us those gifts. Amen. So, and then prior to that was Sammy had a great teaching and had a great video that he showed, and it's, you know, it had some jokes in it. It was you know, pretty funny, but there's some seriousness to that. So a lot of things that were said, there was some seriousness to it, you know. And a lot of times, you know, in fellowship and in friendship, we joke around a little bit, but our walk is very serious. Amen. So this morning, what I'm going to talk about, and next week I'm going to follow up with the second part, but the title to the teaching that I'm going to be doing is The Need for Self-Discipline. Okay? The Need for Self-Discipline. Can everybody hear me back there? Amen? Okay, great, great. So this week I'm going to kind of cover the first part of it. And then next week I come back with more of the self-discipline. But I'm going to start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 to 25. Okay, 24 and 25. And at first I understood what Sammy was talking about when he said about some of the books in Corinthians. I knew what he was saying. Because I started looking at, you know, 1 Corinthians, and I'm reading these chapters, and I'm going like, you know, this is pretty serious stuff here. And I don't know if I can do this. So I understood what Sammy was talking about. And then I was listening to Bob's teaching. I was blessed that my wife got me some wireless headphones. So I'll sit on the Chase Lounge, and I'll put my phone somewhere in the kitchen, and I can be listening to teachings with the headphones on. So I was listening to that and listening to what Bob's comment was about. There's so much in there that he can, out of one verse, he can teach for about a week. Believe me, he can. We do that in the on the Bible studies on Thursdays. And I don't make it to all of them, but when I can, I'll schedule myself to try and be there. And yeah, there's times where we don't even get through two verses. We'll read two verses, and that'll be the whole teaching for that day. So, but it's good. It's real good. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 and 25. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. And I thought about it, you know, race. Back in some years back, when I was in Puerto Rico, we did it was a marathon I wanted to participate in. And, you know, I wanted to go be in this race. So every day, you know, me and a friend of mine, we would get up around 4 o'clock in the morning and go to the beach. We were fortunate that we only lived like a 10-minute walk to the ocean, you know, from where I lived in Puerto Rico, 10-minute walk to the beach. So every morning we would get up and we would walk to the beach and we would start running on the beach. Now, I don't know those of you that know that sometimes when that sand is real dry, when you put your foot down, your foot sinks in, okay? So it was harder to run in the beach, which actually was good if you're training. Okay? It's resistance. So every morning we would do that. And every day, we'd train. And I would run and run and run. And we would just run the coast, you know. And every single morning, me and my buddy, we'd get up and we had this thing. You guys see Rocky, where the raw egg thing? I did it twice. That's it. I did it twice. That was it. That was good enough for me. A little bit too much. And that's what happens when you watch too much TV, I guess. You know, you start imitating some of those things. So, but every day we get up and we would just run and jog and jog and jog and jog every single day, training for this event. And it was from, we would start from the old San Juan up in this hill, and the end was at the National Cemetery in Puerto Rico. I think it was roughly about 15 miles, something like that. And for a young guy, but anyways, so every single morning I'd get up and just train, and training and training and training for this race. Now, I didn't come in first place in this race. I got here in my notes. I didn't come in first place, but I trained like I wanted to come in first place. You know, and again, we go to that verse that says, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it for a crown. And it says, when the runners run, do it as to get the prize. Now, when I trained, when I was in training, my goal was to win. That's what I trained for. Right? That's why we're all here for. Okay? So, I did that every single morning because I wanted in that race to come in first place. That was my goal. Whether or not I did it, that's what I was training for. Because I wanted that prize. Now, I didn't even know what the prize was. I knew that it was some kind of prize. But I was training because I wanted to win. I didn't train to lose. I was training to win. I wanted to make it to the end. Now, I can say that even though I didn't come in first place, I said I trained like I was going to win. But I finished. There was roughly about, I don't know, maybe about 100 runners, something like that. And out of the 100 runners, I think I came in like in 11th place or something like that. Not too bad. Not too bad. Now, I probably would have made it, but we're in Puerto Rico. It's about maybe, I don't know, 84 degrees, you know, early afternoon. And I'm just running, you know. And I'm running. And I'm going by this fire station, okay? And the last thing you want to do is when you're going by a fire station, start saying water. So I'm running, and I start saying, you know, water, because they had a little stand. I thought they were going to give me a glass of water. The guy opens the hose. That's what he did. He opens the hose. I get soaked. So now my clothes is a little heavier, all right? So it kind of slowed me down a little bit. But anyways, that's why you got to be careful what you ask for. You guys seen that commercial about the genie? Yeah. Yeah, it says be careful what you ask for because the genie can be literal. So anyways, I accomplished the goal that I wanted to do, was to get there. Now, my goal was actually to win, but I said, if I don't win, at least I want to get there. Don't we all want to get there? That's what we all want and are in training to get to meet our Father, to be there in person, to see Him face to face. That's what I want to do. That's why we're all in this race, to get there. And that's what I train for. I said, because if I don't win, I want to get there. And out of all those runners, I made it. I accomplished the goal. I got there. I made it to the finish line. Out of all those people. Now, our Christian walk is like a race. A long race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And it requires, I got a few things here that I wrote down, self-discipline. You got to discipline yourself for the race. I'll get into more self-discipline next week, but I wanted to put that on there. It requires a desire. You got a desire for that. That's what you want to do. I desire to be in this race. That's what I want to do. That's my desire. You got a desire. You got to want it. Because if you start doing something that you really don't want to do, the chances of you finishing are very slim. It's with anything that you do. You know? Work. How good are you at your job if when you go, you're not even really into what you want to do at work? Productivity starts failing. Quality starts going down the tubes. Right? So if you go to work and you're like, I don't really want to be here, and you're going with that attitude that you really don't desire to be at your job, things are going to suffer. Okay? You might make mistakes. And in some factories or some plants, a mistake can cost you your life. I know a guy that climbed the top of a forklift and fell down. And he didn't die, but I tell you what, he came real close to. Okay? So there has to be a desire. Okay? That's key. You got to want to do that. Okay? My desire is to meet my Father in heaven. That's what I desire. That's what we all should desire, is to one day be there and see him face to face. Commitment. You got to be committed. And I don't mean, you know, the bad way. I mean, you got to be committed. You have to want to be there. And once you're there, or once you know this is what you want to do, you got to commit to it. There's a sense of responsibility, a commitment. This is what I want to do, okay, and I got to commit to it. It's not a joke. It's not, you know, it's not time to say, well, you know, I'll train next week. Sammy, when you decide, okay, you know what, I want to go ahead and for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to work on my abs. Okay, I'm sorry?
The Lord knows I need it.
We all do. But anyway. So we go ahead, and he makes a commitment. This is what I'm going to do for the next 3 weeks, okay? That this is what I'm going to train on. And he commits to that. And every single day, he trains for that specific goal that he wants to accomplish. He has to be committed. We have to make a commitment. Well, when we make a commitment, we have to stick to it. We have to know that this is what we want to do. This is my desire, and I'm going to commit to it. Okay? There might be some requirements that you have to do. Okay? But you have to be committed. When we make a commitment, in other words, a vow to our Father, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to commit to reading His Word. I'm going to commit to go to church. Okay? I'm going to commit to praying. I'm going to commit to make sure that I go out there and share His Word. It's a commitment. Training. In a race, you got to train. You're not just going to go and jump in at the starting gate and take off and think you're going to win. With no training whatsoever. Okay? It's not going to happen. We have to train. Okay? Pastor Don has his coaching. He coaches the Western High School softball team, the girls. There's training. He's not going to go ahead and just grab one of the girls and say, you're my pitcher, without even training her. It's not going to happen. You know? There's training involved.
Actually happened. My first year down there, I had a girl. She was a pitcher, and she was a good pitcher. I had worked with her before. She quit the last 2 weeks of the season.
Oof.
We didn't know where she was at. She didn't let us know if there was a problem. She just gave up. And so we're showing up to the game, and it's like, where's she at? You know, and So I had to grab a girl, we call her A-Rod, her name was Aitza Rodriguez. And I said, A-Rod, you're going to have to pitch. But coach, I never pitched before. I don't care. Get in there. And a team that we should have killed. Well, she couldn't get the ball over the plate, and we ended up losing to a team that was horrible just because you didn't have that pitcher. Well, she was a junior that year, dedicated herself to coming in all year. The following year, she became our pitcher, and was you could see she was growing and getting better and better and better and better. The end of the season, and we've told this story before, we're playing Cass Tech in the state tournament. They had never beaten Cass Tech before, never won a district title or district game. She shows up and she beat them, and they were a very good team. And and it just goes back. But she, at first, she got thrown into a situation she had never done before. She didn't like losing. She dedicated herself. She made that commitment, worked hard, and there was no financial reward or it was just. But she's the only girl ever to win that district title. We see her all the time, and we always kid her about it. But that's something that she'll always take with her. But that carry, the same thing. What goes on the natural, you see in the spiritual there. That you do. You got to have that commitment, that in that discipline. And people that don't, they never going to achieve anything. But those that really set their shoulder to the plow and don't look back, it's amazing what God will do through you.
Amen. Amen. Now, real quick, I had mentioned to Bob, I might have been last week. She says, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I said, but it's funny because I had a total different teaching. Total different teaching. And, last couple of weeks, about last week or something like that, when he asked me, I said, "You know why, Bob? It's funny, though, because that teaching I had, that's not what the Lord is putting in my heart right now." And as I kept reading through the chapter and the last couple of verses, that's what I felt, this is what you need to talk about. And it's, again, the title is The Need for Self-Discipline. But it's very true. We go back to training. You have to train. Okay, our spiritual walk, we train every single day. At least we should be training every single day. Right? Now, what's our training? Right? And bringing coffee for the pastor. Right? That's our training. But I tell you what, if we don't do those things, if we don't train that way, okay, the chances of us finishing are pretty slim. These are things that we have to do. Not should we, is that we have to. We need to. I need to. I need to make sure that I get into His Word. I need to make sure that I fellowship. A lot of people think, fellowship, we're hanging out? Not really. No. It's not just hanging out with the brothers and sisters from church, even though that's okay. That's good. Okay, it's when those times that we're going through something, we have other resources we can go to. We have other people we can reach out to and say, "Hey, bro, you know what? I'm going through something right now. I need prayer." And some people think, we'll see if prayer is important. Prayer is key. Some people say, at least we can try and pray. Like it's not, we have to believe that when we're praying, we got to pray with, we're going to expect that God's going to do something. And He will in His time, but He will. The last one I got here is goal. The finish line, the crown, the trophy, the satisfaction in knowing that we made it. Our ultimate goal, my ultimate goal, is to be with my Father. To be with Him. To just be in all His glory. We see all the wonderful things that God does. And sometimes when some of the guys, when we're out there playing golf, and we're standing there and we're just looking out. What's that?
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Well, let me rephrase that. We try to play golf. And we're out there, and sometimes you stop and you look at all the wonderful things that God has done. The colors, the trees, the landscape. This is all created by Him. This wasn't some company that decided to put a tree there. God knows exactly where he's putting every single tree. He designs everything. And you sit there and you're amazed of all the wonderful things. There's times when I'm driving to Grand Rapids one time and I'm just driving. And it's the fall. And I'm on my way there and I'm listening to some praise and worship songs. And I'm driving and I look at a distance and there's a part of the freeway where it kind of splits up a little bit. And they have all these trees in the center. And I'm looking and it's like all these beautiful colors. And the way everything was fit. Everything was perfect. Every single tree, the design of every single tree was just beautiful. And I'm going, oh my gosh. You know, he does all this. He did all this. You know? So, one day, that's my goal. One day to be with my Father. Now, on here, it says, what I got here, what was the Apostle Paul referring to when he mentions the games? And I thought Donovan would be here because I know he's good with, like, Greek and all that. So I figured I'll throw something on in Greek. Not that I know any. But anyways, what he's referring to is the Asthmian Games. Am I pronouncing that right, Pastor? Asthmian Games. It's an ancient Greek festival, and I got it on here. It's called the Asthmian Games. Asthmian Games is in ancient Greece, a festival of athletic and musical competitions in honor of the sea god Poseidon. And it's held in every single fourth year in the spring. Now, these are something like the Olympics. And it was interesting because the victor's prize was a wild dry celery. That was the crown, made out of celery. All dried up celery. And it was changed over to pine wreath because of the Roman times, they decided to switch it over to pine. So that was the prize. They did all these competitions, all these races and everything to get a crown that was made out of wild celery. That was it. That was what they competed for and trained so hard was for that. But it was actually the meaning behind it. Okay, it's not really the wreath or, you know, the crown. It's the meaning behind it. To know that you accomplished, that your training, okay, got you that prize. Our training will get us our prize. Every single day we train and we work hard to get closer and closer and closer to him. I know that Pastor Don and Pastor John for the last year and a half, almost 2 years, that's what they've been preaching on, is drawing closer to God. Training, self-discipline, desire, commitment gets us there in our spiritual walk. Acts 20:24 says this, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. My only aim is to finish the race. We want to finish this race. When I did that marathon in Puerto Rico, I started off with a bunch of friends. A couple of my buddies that one guy trained with. And a couple of other guys. We were at the starting line. The gun goes off. We start running. And at first, you know, all my buddies there, we're running. And, oh, yeah, we're doing this. We're running. You know, and I'm talking to one guy, we're doing this. All of a sudden, he drops out. I'm still running. Okay, we're going to do this. I'm running. He drops out. There was maybe at about I don't know, maybe seven of my friends that started off. When I got to the finish line, I looked back. None of them made it. They trained. They couldn't finish. Was it lack of training? I don't know. Maybe they didn't train hard enough. Maybe they didn't do all the training they needed to do. There's different trainings that we need to do. Do we slack on some? Are we doing all the ones we're supposed to? Reading our Bible? Are we just praying and not reading our Bible? Are we reading our Bible and not praying? Are we doing both and not sharing His good news with everybody else? Are we reaching out to brothers and sisters that are in need? This is all training. These are all commitments. These are all things that we said we're going to do for His kingdom. You know, maybe they didn't have the self-discipline and forgot the key important thing that we forget sometimes is that our strength comes from heaven and not from ourselves. Okay? I didn't depend on my friends to make it. I'm glad they were there. It was nice. Fellowship. That was all good. But it's up to me whether or not I finish. A lot of times we see that in churches, that a lot of people put all their focus on other people. And that's good. Fellowship. Brothers, that's all great. But you know what? It's up to me. Because God says, pick up your cross. It's not pick up everybody else's. It's not somebody else is going to pick up yours. It says, pick up your cross and follow me. Okay? That's what's called self-discipline. Self, it's me. It's not that it's all about me, but I have to make sure that I'm doing what I need to be doing to get closer to Him. To make sure that in this race I'm doing all the training, that I'm committed to what I'm supposed to be doing to get closer to God.
Well, I was thinking, you know, sometimes people do the training, but they don't expect to experience the pain that they're going to feel, you know, when you get to a certain point and you have to press through the pain. And I think that's a lot of time in our walk. You know, there's parts of pain that, let's, you know, we stop reading our Bible, we stop praying, we stop fellowshipping, you know, but it's pushing through the pain and through the hardship, you know, that you get to the finish. So.
True. Amen. That's very true. You know, oh, this is hard. Oh, I'm tired. I can't run another step. You know? Perseverance. To go through that. Because at the end results will pay off. And for us, our end result is to be again with our Father. You know? That's what we train for. That's what we fight for. We should be fighting for that. You know? 2 Corinthians, you know, I'll end up finishing with this. Oh, I'm sorry, I got here. Like I said, it's sad to say, but the world is full of people who started this race. They didn't have the self-discipline and forgot that our strength comes from heaven and not from ourselves. You know, somewhere along the line, you know, like I said, we know a lot of people out there that started the race. And they start off pretty good. Oh, man, they were on fire. Pastor, whenever you need me, I'm there. I don't care what time it is, Pastor. You call me, and I'll go with you wherever it takes. Then the pastor calls him. Hey, ready? For what? Well, we got to go visit about four or five people at the hospital. Oh, Pastor, wow. You know, that's all fine, but, geez, you know, I cut the grass. My wife's yelling at me. I haven't cut the grass in 3 or 4 days. You know, I got to do this one project that's due, you know, in a month. You know, but I got to start it now. You know, and all these excuses start coming up. You know? And there's a lot of people that started this race. And for some reason or another, they just gave up along the way. They let the enemy get the best of them. That's why we train. We train hard in reading our word. Make sure we're in prayer and fellowship. You know, so that when the enemy does come, and he will come, because he's not happy when you want to seek God. He hates that with a passion. Somebody that's passionate, it's him. He's passionate to make sure that you don't succeed. He's passionate to make sure that you don't stay in this race. That's what his passion is. He's committed to make sure that we don't participate in this race. And he'll do everything that he can to stop you from your training, from your commitment, from your desire to get to that goal, to not finish the race. And a lot of people somewhere down the line let the enemy get the best of them. And they failed. You know, they gave up. They start going somewhere else. They start going back to that old life. And I don't know about you guys, but I do not want to go back to my old life. You know, I got a word from Ed Trout one time that he says, you know what, you shouldn't be here. You should be dead by now. It's true. So do I want to go back to a life where I might not have a life? Where it might be cut short? A lot of us have a lot of testimonies about that. I know Fred has a great one. You know, we all got stories. We all got testimonies of how if we would have stayed in that old past life, we would not be here.
You're absolutely right. You were talking about running a marathon. You know, there's that old adage that somewhere right around the 19-20 mile, you hit what they call the wall. I mean, the body is not meant to do 26 miles. That's about the max. And you have to, that's when you have to dig down in yourself. And that's where it doesn't work. That might be, you might get a couple more miles out of that, but when you dig down in yourself and your Christian walk, there's nothing there. That's why, thank God, we have the Holy Spirit to help us along. We're not running the race alone. That's the main thing to remember, that we're in this. Yep. We have something to grab a hold of to carry us that extra. You see sometimes finish line, couple guys carrying one, you know, guy, tongue hanging out, but they're carrying him over because he wants to finish. That's how it is with the Holy Spirit. No matter how tired we get, if we don't have nothing left, he has plenty left.
Amen. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10 says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Because that's the Holy Spirit, like Bob said. When we start falling weak or feeling weak, we go to our Father. That's prayer time. When the enemy starts attacking us, that's prayer time. That's time to reach out. That's time to get in His Word. Okay? Because like I said, in the weaknesses, that's when we go to Him. And sometimes, you know what? We're stubborn. How many people here are stubborn? A lot of people didn't raise their hands. We'll pray for them. Okay? And sometimes we just think that on our own will, we can do that. I got this. You know, I can do this. No, you can't. I can't. We can't. We have to rely on God's power, on Jesus Christ's power, the Holy Spirit, to help us get through this so that we can finish the race, so that all that training, we're not going to train alone. My training when it was in the race that I did, right, was with some friends. What happened? They didn't make it. Okay? But when I rely on Jesus Christ to help me and guide me through this training, through everything that I'm doing to get closer to Him, it's going to be okay. I have somebody that I can reach out to and talk to. And I'll finish this part right here. It takes hard work. It takes self-discipline. Now think about those words. Self-discipline. And I'll get into that next week. Amen? Thank you. Yes, my lovely wife. Since she has the mic.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, today for this word, Lord, that we take it, that we live by it, Lord, and that we remember the discipline, Lord, that we remember the obedience, Lord, and that we remember that our day is given to us because of you. Amen.